Countdown Training Camp 2019 Road to Redemption, presented by VehicleCreditRepair.com. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
What's that text we got on Hot Take Tuesday? We have Billy Joel tickets to give away. You got another hour via text or phone call, 303-713-1043 to get it in. Was that one about sacks?
Sacks.
Yeah, we got a hot take in here. Yeah, it says that the Broncos trifecta this year will set the NFL team record for sacks, and they gave a numbers breakdown. Von Miller with 20, Bradley Chubb with 16, and GB with 8.5.
That's funny.
Which means GB will be our starting left tackle the entire season.
We got
more popular ones are Elijah Wilkinson starting at left tackle week one, Shanahan coming back, Cortland Sutton setting all kinds of records and or getting cut or traded. I'm not sure what else is out there.
I think the Fangio coaching from the box one is interesting. Just because he's so attached to it, and I don't think that it necessarily is going to happen, but in the context of the conversation, I think it's...
It sort of makes sense.
It's interesting.
Gets frustrated from being on the sideline.
Just because it's never been done doesn't mean it won't happen.
Reverts back. So they're basically head coachless at that point.
Well, they're kind of head coachless now during practice. I mean, it's weird. Like,
I told you, I watched him with my binoculars, like, during periods, and he just kind of stands there by himself, isn't saying anything, especially when the offense is
doing anything.
Well, they're on the field at the same time, but he's not doing anything. It's almost, he's like, it looks uncomfortable out there.
And then during team, he stands on the sideline, like we talked about. In team periods, the defense is always on the sidelines, while the offense kind of curls around the offense, the remaining players, and he's standing on the sidelines, like you know, the defensive coordinator would.
I had Wade Phillips was the head coach here my rookie year, and he was, for the most part, a defensive coordinator up until that point. He did have a year of head coaching the year prior, but he was a head coach. He stood where he was supposed to stand. He would speak to both groups. He would get, you know, fired up with both groups, but he, you know, basically was hands-off on just the defense. He was the head coach. Now, this is Vic Fangio's first year of doing it, and maybe next year he'll be more comfortable with being the head coach as opposed to a defensive coordinator all the time, but it just looks awkward out there.
I
wouldn't be shocked if that hot take is accurate. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if something like that were to take place.
I wouldn't be upset about it at all. It would seem to... Listen, sometimes in life we waste so much time trying to get better at things we're not great at without spending more time at things we excel at. So this may be a case of overthinking it. Who's to say he shouldn't be up in the box and somebody else can be on the sidelines and he can be on the headphones with them, tell him everything to do.
It just could get dysfunctional if it were. And he's been with Donatell for a while.
Yeah.
And they have a good relationship. But basically, if he's moving up to the box, he's basically demoting Donatell. Is Donatell getting fired at that point? Is he staying on staff?
Well, again, that was my issue with Rick Dennison, is how much of an offensive coordinator can you be when there's another guy calling all the plays? I don't know. It's weird.
You're assuming Kubiak called all the plays.
He did.
You know this.
Yes. Until there were a couple well, the craziest game was the game that meant absolutely nothing against the Raiders, and he vowed he was going to have Simeon and Lynch play 50-50. And then up by 24 points in the third quarter, he just kept on playing Simeon. And he did hand things over to his assistants because he knew they were all going to be fired. So, except for that game, yeah, as far as I know, when Gary was out there, he was calling all the plays. I mean, unless you know something different. I mean, that's what I was told. That's what he said he was doing. I mean, you know, that's what it looked like.
Because he's calling plays through his... He's the one that's talking to the quarterbacks. It will look like that.
That's what I was...
Rick Dennison is up in the box calling the play to Kubiak.
Dude, it was
Kubiak's
awkward
relaying.
It was awkward with Dennison. It just... Dennison was going through some personal stuff in his last year. Sadly, his dad passed away. And there was a disconnect, especially with, like, Elway and Dennison. And
What does that have to do with him?
Brian Terriani. He wasn't. I don't think he was doing it. I don't think there was any significant role for him.
I would bet that he called plays. Maybe not all of the plays.
I know you're friends with him, so you would know better. I mean, was he calling plays?
He was the offensive coordinator. I haven't asked him if he was calling plays in 2016.
It was weird. What can I tell you? It was just awkward.
But they'd been working together for a while, especially when Rico was down in Houston as well as his offensive coordinator. Listen, they probably had some sort of system worked out, like Kubiak
right.
and Shanahan.
That's extremely fair.
There's no doubt that Kubiak called some of the plays when Mike Shanahan was the head coach, when Gary Kubiak was the offensive coordinator.
Listen, if there was a system
there's a third and eight, and Mike Shanahan knew what he wanted to run, that was what we were running.
Fair enough. And I could say third and four, Gary, should we run it? Hey, run this play, and Kubiak, whatever. They work together somehow.
But if Vic Fangio is the head coach and he moves up into the box after 2 weeks because the defense isn't playing well, Vic Fangio is the defensive coordinator. Right. There's no other reason why he would move up there.
True.
There's no guess in there.
He has said a couple of different times during training camp, he has talked about being on the sidelines as he's going to be on the sidelines.
Yeah, until things go bad. Right. And he's revert right back to what he's used to.
Which, in my opinion, would be a mistake. You got to work through some of those rough patches for the haul of things.
It's a short season, though. If they start out 0-3 and the defense is not on the same page, or he just doesn't like how the defense is being called from Ed Donatell up in the box, how long do you let that go?
Well, I mean, he's going to be calling the defense, though, Tom. He's not going to have Donatell calling
it. I'm telling you, the viewpoint, like, the Hill people and the 500s at Mile High, it's a different view on the field. It just doesn't, you can't see much. As a coach, Mike Shanahan would stare at the quarterback. That's all he would watch.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see 11 guys. You can't see the offensive packages from the opposite sideline with guys coming in and out. You don't know. That's why guys are in the box. That's why Vic Fangio was in the box. It's a better viewpoint.
Do you want to see him move up to the box?
If they're 0-3 and the defense isn't playing well, I mean, if they're losing 12 to nothing every week and they're 0-3, things are fine.
Hold on. At Oakland, hosting Chicago, at Green Bay, it's possible.
Man, it might be after Oakland. The short week after that, if they were to defensively not play well, look, this is his first chance as a head coach.
I'll give you this. At 0-3, your season's on the brink right there.
Yeah. In the NFL, this isn't like the other sports. It's a short season. There's 16 games. You can't lag too far behind when the Chiefs and Chargers are in your division.
More of your hot takes. The top six coming up. Billy Joel tickets on the line. It's a drive on the fan.
Breaking down training camp 2019 Road to Redemption, presented by Flesh and Beck Law. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
All right, we have some more hot takes to take. Then we'll announce the winner of the Billy Joel tickets at 6:30, or close to 6:30. The Drive's analysis of training camp 2019 Road to Redemption is presented by Flesh and Beck Law. The Rockies are down to to Washington 2-0 right now. So there's that. The War Room, if you missed it, will be replayed at 7 o'clock tonight. So that should be cool. Before we get to the calls, did you see, you don't like it when I do sarcastic high fives.
It's so hard for you. I feel like you should just sit it out.
Okay.
High five!
Because I could frame this as a high five, but it would come off wrong, so...
You're incapable of a high five. Just give it
I think they're funny, but you don't like my sarcasm,
even
positivity.
Even when you go into it with a high five and it looks like it's going to be positive, at the end you just take a dump all over your own high five.
How about I give a high five to Tom Brady for showing his daughter how to be a man?
High five!
See, that, you can't, you
I
just couldn't, can't
I tried,
do it.
I know.
How about a high five to Vic Fangio for not putting music on during practice?
That sounds good. High five!
High five!
Did you see Tom Brady drag his daughter off a cliff into the water?
I did.
What was your take? You have a daughter. You have two daughters. Would you ever jump off a cliff and drag your daughter with you as you plummeted into the pool?
Okay, I've done something very similar in the French Alps. Maybe okay. Bertolet was there. It's called canyoning.
Can we have the fancy music on?
It's during the summertime.
Please tell us more stories about being in the French Alps.
With the runoff, it was Megève.
Okay.
And it's called canyoning. So basically, when the water runs off, it kind of creates this almost like a slide for miles. And it's rock slides, but you go down the water, and then you get to points where there are pools of water. And you're with a guide. And
you're wearing a helmet preserver?
You have a helmet on. You have a wetsuit on.
Oh, interesting.
And we were probably up a couple times jumping off into these pools of water anywhere from 10 to 20 meters. It was high. And my daughter was 5.
Wow.
My other daughter was probably 13. She did not do it. The 5-year-old did it. And she was like fearless.
Was she like on your lap or something?
No. She just jumped.
Wow.
And we don't know how deep the water is. We're just relying on this guide.
Yikes.
To basically say it's safe to jump here.
Okay. It's a lot of trust in a Frenchie.
The difference between that is that and Tom Brady goes 3-2-1 and basically thinks he's going and holding hands with his daughter as they go over the falls there into the pool of water.
Yeah.
And she seemed a little hesitant, but he was already committed to holding her hand and jumping at the same time.
Yeah.
She tried to call an audible at the end, but the play was already on.
He goes in feet first. He yanks her by the arm. She goes in sideways.
Because of that. Yeah. But I think the intent was to jump together, and she had second thoughts at the last second, but your boy.
Well, but it's better for him to do that than to let go and she falls tumbles into the rocks.
Right. She wouldn't have got the clearance needed.
He kind of had to do it.
He saved her life.
It was heroic.
Yeah, but he put her in that position in the first place. And then Giselle is standing behind him like, kind of like shocked.
I'm telling you, I've done it. And do you know how high 20 meters is scary?
You think that's how high they were? You think they were 60 feet in the air?
They didn't look that high.
I thought it was more like maybe 7 or 8 meters, something like 20 feet or something like that.
We were up way higher than that. It was scary doing it. And I hit the bottom of the little pool there at the bottom.
Hard?
Yeah. But I went my butt first. Like, basically, I didn't trust the guide, and I knew I'm heavier.
Right.
So, basically, when I landed, I just put my butt down first and threw my legs up.
And that was the right move.
Yes, because I probably would have broke my legs.
As your butt bounced off the whatever. So, wait. Where are you with Tom Brady in the cliff diving with the daughter?
It is what it is. Everybody's safe. Everybody's safe.
You're okay with it?
I've done it. I didn't hold hands with my daughter. We went one at a time.
Yeah.
But in the end of the day, everybody's safe, and he probably saved her life.
Okay.
She should have said, I don't want to do it. I'm scared. Because she looks scared.
Yeah, of course. I think most reasonable people could be scared in a situation like that. I don't know. Hasn't he done stuff like this before, this cliff diving crap?
I don't know. He looked pretty good.
He said long kisses with his son.
I know.
That's your guy. You haven't really chimed in there.
I don't have a daughter. I have two sons, so I don't know if it's...
They're a child. It doesn't matter.
I would never have done that in a million years with my kid. I may have, like, said, hey...
What happens if Connor's like, Dad, we got to do this. This will be awesome. Well, he's 5 years old.
Connor
he's
would
little.
Never do that, but Dylan might. My younger son might.
Yeah, Dad, this is going to be awesome. Let's go in together. This is going to be, like, awesome.
Together,
he's 5 years old.
Together is unlikely, but I might just say, okay, you do it, dude, and I'll be right behind you. I'd go first and sort of, you know...
Test it out?
Yeah. I mean, when I saw her like going sideways into the water, he goes, I had to go back and watch it a couple times to see how did he land. He landed feet first. She went totally sideways and then she seemed to be absolutely fine. And, you know, not to make too big of a deal of it, but it's not something I would have done. That's for sure. And I've done all sorts of goofy crazy. I've bungee jumped. I've But I've taken my kids skiing in places when they were young that, you know, does not look sane to take kids skiing in. But I trusted that they could control the environment. Dude, there were like rocks. If she did slip or something, there were like rocks right underneath it.
Oh, she's probably dead. Okay. I would assume. I mean, that was jagged rocks, long fall.
It was crazy to see, but that's Tom Brady. Disney-
Wait, is this your high five?
Yeah.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
I got another one, though, too.
That was a very sad high five.
Right.
High five!
You didn't even like what he did. I don't know where the high five even came
to
in.
To the daughter!
It's a low five.
To the daughter for surviving?
Yes! High five to Tom Brady's daughter!
You didn't make that clear.
High five!
Oh, sorry. Is it a low five?
Low five.
I was going to give a high five to Disneyland security, but that does not seem
they don't,
appropriate.
High five!
They don't exist.
They
wait till the park goers take down the guy before they jump in.
Before the show starts, Tom goes, "Have you seen the fight at Disneyland?" I go, no, what are you talking? It's like an 8-minute brawl. Just vicious.
I'm pretty sure Disneyland has fantastic security cameras, too.
That place is locked down.
Dude,
I can't steal anything there.
I have never seen an incident in a place like that without security come. That took forever. And the security that, did eventually come in was ridiculous. It was insane. It was a really big dude who was throwing punches at women, at dudes. It was crazy.
Did you see the shadow boxing for a while there, though?
Yeah, well, they're like kangaroos. They're like
sizing each other up.
It's like they both had tails.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
No.
Along. Then he decided just to take swings at like women. I'm hoping that guy's in jail, by the way. That guy's got to be. Actually, he was saying that in the video. I'm ready to go to jail. Jail tonight.
I don't care about the video.
It is unbelievable.
To be clear, you've yet to give a high five.
Well, I was going to give it to Disney security.
You didn't, though, because they didn't exist.
All right, you got a high five?
I do. Right. From my daughter. The one that jumped from those heights.
What'd your daughter
without
do?
Fear. She won a state championship. 15 and over.
What?
200 back. Had her best time, which is more important than actually winning in swimming.
Nice.
So,
high five!
She's pretty excited. She got a t-shirt out of it. And
get a medal?
She gets a medal. Yes.
That's awesome.
And she also gets now a trip to Des Moines, Iowa.
For free. They pay for that trip.
They do not. Nope.
Well,
call me.
Congratulations.
Luxurious.
High five for me.
Are you
for a trip to Des Moines.
Hey, your daughter just won. You can spend $2,000 on a weekend trip to Des Moines.
She doesn't have to go, but she was excited that her time qualified her.
You'd be the worst dad ever.
All of a sudden, you're the Grinch.
D-Nice had her plane ticket booked about 30 seconds after she finished the
prelims. You are wonderful, honey. Let's go to Des Moines. Top 6 is coming up next.